sermon, is it not? I figured it was time to get back to our series that we began in the fall and that we stopped during Advent when we talked about being a blessing to others during the holiday. And so we're coming back to this Hall of Faith series, and it's based, if you remember, on chapter 11 in the book of Hebrews. To remind you a little bit, and for those that haven't been here over the fall, listen to these words. These are the first three verses of Hebrews 11. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith, our ancestors received approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. And so over the course of the fall, we went through a series of sermons on all of the people that are mentioned in the book of Hebrews. So I'm going to jog your memory a little bit and see if you remember any of the people. It doesn't have to be in order. We talked about Noah. We did two messages on Noah. Abraham. I'm sorry? Cain and Abel. We did Abel. It was Abel's faith. Yep. That's pretty good. Okay, do you remember Enoch? Oh, yeah, that one. Enoch was the one that, and didn't die. He didn't die. He was one of the two that didn't die in Scripture. Anybody else? Haven't gotten to Elijah. We're still in the book of Genesis. Okay, who was Abraham's son? Isaac. Okay, and Isaac's son is?
Jacob.
So this is pretty much where we are in Scripture. And we get to the idea of Jacob wrestling with an angel. And the passage in Hebrews is interesting. I'm not going to actually deal with that verse in Hebrews because I really want to get into who Jacob was and what his faith was like. The verse in Hebrews says, "By faith Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the top of his staff." So all I will say in that is that faith there was trusting that God would look after his grandson and his son and his whole family. Because how many kids did Jacob have? 12 sons. That's a lot of sons. I have three. Okay, that's a lot of boys to have. So we've talked about, when we talked about those other people, we talked about having a faith that's sacrificial, that's close walking with God, that was Enoch, that's unquestioning, enduring, uncharted, selfless, and a faith that blesses. That's what all those messages were in the fall. So today, the faith that we're going to look at is faith that is persistent. A faith that won't let go of God until he blesses us. No matter how painful wrestling with him is. Have you ever wrestled with God? Have you ever wrestled with him? Jacob was the son of Abraham. He was the one that was almost sacrificed, you remember? He was the one that had been waited for and waited for and waited for. And then God says, sacrifice him on the altar, right? And he doesn't have to. A ram is provided. Who's his brother? Jacob's brother? Esau is his brother. And if you remember, Jacob bought Esau's birthright because Esau was the older. They were twins, but Esau was born first. What did he buy his birthright with? Food. Do you remember what? It wasn't even impressive food. A bowl of stew. He got all the rights of the firstborn for a bowl of stew. That was quite the bargain. Okay? And then, if that wasn't enough, because his mom told him to, what else did he do? He stole the blessing. When his father is dying, his father wants to bless Esau, and Jacob dresses up with fur, because remember, Esau's a hairy man. That's what it says in Scripture. I love it. He's a hairy man. And when his dad touches him, He says, oh, this is Esau, because he feels like Esau. And so he blesses Jacob instead of Esau with the best blessing. Jacob, if you remember, I told you what his name means. It means trickster. It means deceiver. And so this is the person whose faith we're talking about today. This is the person who ended up in the hall of faith. Huh, interesting. Now it's fun to look at, I think it's fun to look at Jacob and how things play out for him, because pretty soon in his life he becomes the victim of being tricked. Because he falls in love, anybody remember who the woman was he fell in love with? Rachel, oh beautiful, beautiful Rachel. Falls in love with Rachel, and Rachel's dad's name is Laban. And Laban says, yeah, you can have her, but you got to do 7 years worth of work. That's a lot to get a girl. That's a lot. 7 years you have to work for me for nothing. And then I'll give her to you. And you know what happens? Wedding happens. Night after the wedding, veil comes off. Not Rachel. It's a sister. Leah. What? What? You tricked me, Laban! Bummer. If you want Rachel for your second wife, 7 more years. And does he do it? Yep. He does. And he finally gets the girl. Finally gets the two of them. So 14 years he works to get Rachel. That's love. Or craziness or something. So then he keeps working for Laban. And Laban continues to cheat him out of the wages. He changes the deal time after time after time. So Jacob is the recipient of being tricked. And he learns what it's like to be a deceiver. In this passage, he's finally managed to escape because Laban doesn't want to let him go. And Laban says, your wives and your children are mine. And by law, that was true. But Jacob managed to escape. And then, if it wasn't bad enough, he finds out, guess who's coming down the road? Esau, his brother. And he's terrified. He's absolutely terrified because he figures Esau is going to be out to get revenge. Right? That would be kind of normal. And so he desperately needs to know that God's going to be there and going to be with him when he faces Esau. And he's about to get his wish, but it's going to be kind of surprising the way it turns out. So again, I ask you, have you ever wrestled with God? Could you be named Israel because you struggled with God? That's what the name means, partly. And what can we learn about faith from the story of Jacob? When Jacob learns that Esau is coming, along with hundreds of men, not just by himself, he had two choices. First choice, to flee. He's like, no way, I'm not going to run into Esau. I don't want to do that. To flee. After all, Esau had every excuse to kill him. Every excuse. There was no way that Jacob and the people that were with him could win in a battle against Esau. His second choice, to pray. And that's what he did. Instead of the choice, you know, we think of choices being fight or flight. It was flee or plea. And Jacob chose to plea with God. In verses 9 to 12, this is his prayer. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, O Lord who said to me, return to your country and to your kindred, and I will do you good. I am not worthy of the least of all the steadfast love and all the faithfulness that you have shown to your servant. For with only my staff I crossed this Jordan, and now I have become two companies. Deliver me, please, from the hand of my brother Esau, for I am afraid of him. He may come and kill us all, the mothers with the children. Yet you have said, I will surely do you good, and make your offspring as the sand of the sea, which cannot be counted because of their number. And then he spent the night alone. Will read. He set everything and everybody ahead of him, and he is alone. And an angel shows up and picks a fight with him. Wow. Poor Jacob. Jacob holds his own, even when his hip is dislocated by the angel. And it's interesting, at some point, it's not Jacob being held by the angel, it's Jacob holding the angel and saying, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. And guess what? He gets the blessing. And this is what the angel says. You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed. I don't know if you get this. You're not going to be called trickster anymore. You're going to be known as the one who strives with God and with people and wins. I'd rather have that name, wouldn't you? I'd rather have that name. He was no longer going to be known as the one who received his blessing by tricking someone else. This time, he receives God's blessing because he hangs on despite pain, despite suffering, and by grappling with him throughout a very long night. How much do we want God's blessing? How much do we want it? We think of it as kind of, bless me, Lord. And we just wait. Right? We wait to be blessed. Sometimes it doesn't work like that. Often it doesn't work like that. Do we want that blessing enough to stay up all night wrestling with him? To stay up lots of nights wrestling with him? Enough to endure pain? Enough to hold on until the blessing comes? Is our faith persistent, like Jacob's faith? We think of God's blessing as a gift that's just given, gently, nicely. Not always. Author Patrick Miller wrote, "What does God do when he wrestles? God grapples. He holds, he pins. Wrestling is a dirty sport, and God isn't afraid to twist our arms." Jacob leaves with more than he asked for, a dislocated hip and a new name. God not only blesses him, but transforms him. He calls him Israel because he has striven with God and men and prevailed. Prevailed for Jacob isn't pinning God. Prevailing is being pinned by God. Only by losing to him does Jacob really win, for it's in the losing and in the limp that he becomes subject to God's plan and power. It's by losing that he loses his old identity as deceiver and receives a new identity, Israel, which means let God rule. That's the rest of the definition of that word. God rules us when he wrestles us, but when he rules us, we win. Because we're blessed. He may wound, but it's the surgeon's wound. He cuts to heal. So be careful. Those who wrestle with God never leave the same. What does it mean to wrestle with God? It means to come to him exactly the way we are, in the mess of our lives, willing to be blessed in the loss that we're facing, willing to be transformed even when it's painful. In the passage that follows today's, Jacob does encounter Esau, and guess what? Esau doesn't get back at him at all. He gives Jacob grace. Genesis 33:4 says, Esau ran to meet Jacob and embraced him. He threw his arms around his neck and kissed him. All goes well. And Esau goes on his way. Jacob buys some land and as a first priority builds an altar to the Lord. What he names it is deeply significant. He names it El Elohi Israel. Mighty is the God of Israel. What makes that significant? I didn't catch it at first. It took me a while to get why that matters. Why is that so important? Do you remember verse 9 that Will read? And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac. That's what he called God. Now what is he calling him? The God of Israel. And it's not the country. Remember, it's him. In this wrestling with God, he finds out who he is. He is the one that God is blessing. God is his God in the struggle. No more deception. No more fear. He claims God. You are my God. That's faith that we can learn from. That wrestling match was tough. It was painful. So are the ones that we have. For Jacob, it was an experience that hurt him deeply and scarred him for life, because back then, they didn't have doctors that knew how to put hips back into the socket. And so he had that limp the rest of his life. But nevertheless, his faith was such that he refused to give in until he received the full blessing from God. How much do we want it? How much do we want to be blessed? When you're struggling, think about this passage in this story. And think about Jacob's example. Maybe the struggling is a way to a closer relationship with God. Maybe, even when it feels just the opposite, it's going to draw us closer. And maybe the pain and scars will turn out to be proof of our own moment when we said, you are my God. You be in charge of my life no matter what. In this new year, beyond this new year, don't let go of God until you're blessed. Until you keep on being blessed. Let that be your New Year's resolution. Amen? Would you pray with me, please? Lord Jesus, we know what it is to wrestle. We know that a walk with you, and Jesus promised this, is not easy. Lord, give us the courage, give us the determination and persistence to never let go of you, no matter what. Lord, we're going to hold on until you bless us, because you're worth it, and so is the blessing. It's in your name we pray. Amen.